Ever feel like this whole clean energy transition thing is kind of like
A puzzle.
yeah,
Yeah.
a puzzle where nobody's quite sure how all the pieces fit together?
Right.
Well, you're not alone.
Definitely not.
The Department of Energy, they're wrestling with this too, especially how to make sure all these big clean energy projects actually benefit the communities where they're happening.
And not just like in this vague sense of, oh, there will be jobs and the grid will be cleaner. Like, we're talking about very
The
specific,
fine print.
exactly, hyper-local impacts. Things like, will this specific project pollute? Does this community have the exact workforce training they need for these jobs? Even dealing with historical injustices tied to energy production in that place.
So how are we getting to the nitty-gritty of all of this?
Community benefits plans.
Okay,
Right,
CBPs.
that's what we're diving into.
All right, so for this deep dive, we've got our hands on some really interesting stuff. Transcripts and even a draft report from this working group that advises the Secretary of Energy.
Yeah, they've been talking to folks inside and outside the DOE, trying to figure out what's working, what's not, when it comes to making clean energy actually benefit everyone.
Because it should, right?
Exactly.
So what's the verdict?
Well, one of the biggest takeaways, and this might seem obvious, but for a massive organization like the Department of Energy, this is huge.
Okay.
They're realizing they can't be experts on everything.
That makes sense in theory, but what does that actually look like in practice? I mean, what happens when this government agency that's used to calling the shots suddenly realizes?
They need to take a step back. So one expert the working group talked to basically admitted that, yeah, the DOE, they thought their policies and funding programs were pretty good. But then they realized those opportunities were basically useless to a lot of communities.
Wait, why? Like, were they written in some ancient language only decipherable by, you know?
Pretty much. Like, we're talking dense bureaucratic jargon that even seasoned professionals would struggle to understand. And then on top of that, you have all these communities, especially tribal communities, they just don't have the staff or the time to even try to navigate this labyrinth of funding applications and reporting requirements.
So it's like having a $1 million scholarship, but the application requires you to translate hieroglyphics, and you
Exactly.
can only submit it via carrier pigeon.
Right. It's just not feasible.
Okay, so that's a problem.
It,
So then what?
well, that's where this idea of community science comes in.
Okay.
And it's this idea that it's not enough to just have the money earmarked for a problem. You need to actually engage with communities.
On their terms.
Exactly. You have to
Yeah.
break down the complex science, make it
Make
accessible,
it make sense.
right, and provide ongoing support throughout the process, not just at the very beginning.
So it's less about like dictating solutions from on high and more about empowering communities to be.
Active participants.
Yeah, to actually shape their own energy future.
Exactly.
Really
Exactly.
good.
Yeah, and this isn't just some abstract concept. One community leader put it very bluntly to the DOE. They said, look, all we have is our land.
It's true. And whatever happens on that land, it directly impacts their lives.
It's not about megawatts. It's not about emissions targets. It's about, can this community keep their libraries open or make sure their kids have a safe place to play?
That's a really good point.
And one of the examples that really brings this home is there's a community in Alaska, and they're actually fighting to remove a dam.
Wait, a dam? Don't those usually count as like clean energy?
They do.
So what's the problem?
That's the point. It's a classic case of unintended consequences.
Oh, okay.
The dam does provide clean energy, but it's decimated the local salmon population.
Oh, wow. That's
And for that community,
not good.
salmon isn't just a source of food.
Right, it's their
It's
life,
central to their cultural identity.
their entire way of life.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It is.
So this isn't a one-size-fits-all situation.
No, not at all.
Every community is unique.
Right. And the approach to the energy transition needs to be flexible enough to reflect that.
Absolutely.
So how do we even begin to address that level of complexity? I mean, we're talking about tailoring the energy transition to potentially thousands of individual communities with their own needs and priorities. It's like we're trying to custom tailor a suit for every single person in a city, right?
Right. Except instead of fashion preferences, it's something as fundamental as how people power their lives.
Then build their
Yeah,
communities. Wow, that's
exactly.
a tall order.
It's a monumental task, no doubt. But here's what gives me hope.
Okay.
It's not like communities are just sitting back waiting for someone to figure it out for them.
Right.
Like that community in Alaska, the one fighting to remove the dam.
Oh, yeah, with the salmon.
Right. They're not just saying no to the dam.
They're looking for other solutions.
Exactly. They're researching, they're proposing alternatives like tidal energy.
Oh, wow.
They're determined to find a way to have clean energy that also respects their heritage, their way of life.
So it's not about blocking progress.
Right.
It's about making sure that progress
benefits them,
aligns with the community's values.
Yes, and their vision for the future.
I love that.
And that's what's so exciting about this whole idea of a community-driven energy transition. It's about empowering communities to be the architects of their own energy future, not just passive recipients of someone else's plan.
That makes so much more sense.
Right.
So instead of one-size-fits-all policies from the federal government,
we're talking about thousands of locally tailored solutions.
Okay, but realistically, how do those solutions actually come together?
Well, we're learning that it takes a mix of initiative, collaboration, a willingness to think outside the box.
Sure, sure.
Like the working group heard about a community in New Mexico, for example, and they're partnering with NREL.
The National Renewable Energy Lab.
Yes.
Mm.
You know, big renewable energy research powerhouse.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Although I always pictured them in like a high-tech lab, not out in the deserts of New Mexico.
Right. But that's the beauty of this whole community science approach.
Okay.
NREL is bringing their technical expertise in green hydrogen production to the table.
Okay.
They're helping this community really understand the ins and outs of the technology.
So instead of just handing them a blueprint and saying, here, build this.
Exactly. They're digging into the details, figuring out what makes sense for that community.
With their unique resources and challenges.
Exactly. It's a true partnership.
And hopefully one that results in something that's sustainable and beneficial for everyone involved.
Right. It's not just about the technology. It's about how that technology is implemented.
It makes you wonder what other unexpected partnerships are springing up out there.
Well, for one, it's not just the big players like NREL that are stepping up. The working group also heard about these smaller organizations doing some really amazing work.
Like what?
There's this one group, they're actually using AI to help communities write those super complicated grant applications.
Whoa, that's incredible. It's like they're fighting bureaucracy with algorithms.
Right. And it's the perfect example of how technology can help level the playing field.
Give communities more control over their own destinies.
Exactly. But beyond the tech, it highlights something crucial to this whole puzzle.
What's that?
Capacity building.
Okay.
We can't just throw money at communities and expect them to magically know how to navigate this complex world of energy project development.
It's like handing someone a set of tools without any instructions.
Precisely. This capacity building needs to be baked into the process.
So equip communities with the knowledge, the skills, the resources they need to effectively participate.
Yes. And that's where this whole building better together idea really comes to life.
So it's about recognizing that everyone brings something valuable to the table.
And that the best solutions come from collaboration, not dictation.
Right. But even with the best intentions, I imagine there are still roadblocks.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, community decision making can be messy.
It can be.
So how do you navigate that?
Well, we heard about this community in California, and they're exploring a really interesting use of CBPs.
Okay.
They want to use the funds to actually create a community governance group.
Interesting. So instead of the developers or the government controlling how that money is spent,
they're giving that power directly to the community.
Wow.
This group would be responsible for overseeing how those CBP funds are allocated, spent, making sure they genuinely benefit the community.
That's a bold move.
It is.
It's a bold experiment in local control and accountability.
And it acknowledges that the community is in the best position to understand its own needs.
It sounds like it has the potential to be incredibly empowering.
It does.
But I can also see how something like that could lead to disagreements, even conflict.
Of course. And that's part of what makes this work so challenging, but also so important.
Because ultimately, what we're really talking about here is more than just energy.
It's about community. It's about finding ways to live and thrive together in a world that's changing faster than ever.
It's like we're trying to rebuild the airplane while we're flying it, you know?
Yeah, it's a pretty apt analogy.
Figuring out all this complex community stuff, making sure things are actually equitable, and this whole energy transition is happening all around us at the same time.
It's a lot, and it made me realize, you know, a lot of folks in the working group kept saying this.
What's that?
The energy landscape is already so different from even just a few years ago.
Oh, tell me about it. It seems like just yesterday, electric cars were something out of a sci-fi movie, and now they're everywhere.
Right. And it's not just the tech itself. It's the speed, how fast everything's changed.
And it's kind of mind-blowing.
It's exciting, but it also means we got to be really careful, really thoughtful about how we manage all of this.
Because if we're not,
we risk just recreating all the same problems from before, just with a greener coat of paint.
Just slapping a solar panel on a broken system.
Exactly. It might look better on the surface, but it doesn't actually fix anything.
Right, right.
And that's why, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic about these CBPs.
Okay.
They give us a tool, a framework, for actually putting equity and community benefit front and center.
So it's not just about avoiding harm.
It's about actually building something better.
I like that.
We've got communities using CBPs to fund job training programs, start worker-owned cooperatives, even reclaim those old abandoned mine lands, and turn them into something the community can use.
That's amazing.
It is. It's communities taking charge, not just reacting to change, but actually shaping it.
You could really feel that energy, that momentum from the people the working group talked to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just coming from the communities themselves.
No.
Even folks within the DOE, you could tell they're excited about this. There's a real sense that they get it, that they need to change how they do things.
Embrace this whole collaborative, community-centered thing.
Exactly. So it does feel like things are starting to shift.
That's really encouraging to hear.
It is. But, of course, there are still challenges.
Like what?
Well, one of the big ones is figuring out how to scale all of this up.
What do you mean?
Right now, CDPs are mostly used for these big one-off projects.
Right.
So how do we make them work for the smaller stuff, the community scale initiatives that maybe don't have the same resources as a giant solar farm?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then there's the funding, right? How do we make sure there's enough to support all of this, the big projects and the small ones?
It seems like it'll take a ton of money to do this, right?
It will. And even more than the money, there's this whole other issue of capacity building.
Making sure communities actually know how to do all of this, how to engage, how to advocate for what they need.
Exactly. That's huge. And it's something we can't overlook.
So what did the working group say? What should the DOE be focusing on going forward?
They actually had some really concrete suggestions, which is refreshing.
Okay. Like what?
One of the big ones was improving how they track and report on project outcomes.
So actually making sure these CBPs are delivering on what they promise.
Yes. Okay. And not just checking boxes, but really digging into whether they're making a real difference in these communities.
Accountability. I like it.
Right. And they also talked about the need for more knowledge sharing, more opportunities for communities to learn from each other.
Oh, like a CBP mentorship program or something.
Exactly. Let the folks who are doing this well share their secrets with the folks who are just starting out.
That's a fantastic idea.
And then finally, and this one's key, they said the DOE needs to get its own house in order.
What do you mean?
They need dedicated staff, clear processes, the actual resources to make all of this work.
So basically putting their money where their mouth is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just some side project. This is about fundamentally changing how the DOE does business.
It sounds like it.
And it's about time. Because when it comes down to it, this isn't just about energy. It's about building a better future for everyone.
A more just, a more equitable, more sustainable future.
Absolutely. And that's something I think we could all get behind.
Couldn't agree more. Well, listeners, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of community benefits plans and the Department of Energy's evolving role in all of this. We've talked about the challenges, the opportunities, and some pretty inspiring stories about communities taking charge of their own energy futures. What are your takeaways? Head over to our social media and let us know. And until next time, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep diving deep.